We're in an interesting time. This is a great time to be alive. This is a serious time. We're going to come into revival, and then we're going to come into harvest. Yep. Revival is where God strips us down to the bare essentials, and harvest is where we're prepared to handle increase. Right. God's calling us to win souls, and there are a lot of people that right now are smugly and disinterested in Christ that are going to become strangely very interested in salvation. And that's what harvest is. It happened in Wales in 1904. It happened in California in 1970, 71, 72. I'm a product of a minor revival, the Jesus movement. Time magazine said, "Is God dead?" And it provoked something in the culture. It made people start to think about that. Some people got smug and dismissed God, and others got hungry for God. The hippie culture that got dead-ended so fast with drugs and immorality, many of them turned away from Eastern religions and other alternatives and got saved. I'm one of the result of that. I was just in California last week preaching at Cottonwood. Bayless Conley got saved around the same time. God's raised up a breed of people from that era to get ready for this next wave of things. God is moving amongst our time and our people. Hezbollah and all the stuff, the bombs, and you can't take shampoo on airplanes and gas. You know, you got to get a second mortgage to fill your gas tank. All that stuff is just a drop in the bucket. Man, we just got to keep our eyes on Jesus. The shakable things are shaking, but we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. I want to go right into God's word, Psalm 23. I want to teach you on the reward of the inheritance. I basically want to articulate what believers inherit. There is an inheritance we have. We are joint heirs with Jesus. I want to talk about our inheritance. I want you to see some things in God's word that I think will help you. A man took one of his friends to the top of his house to show him the extent of his possessions. Waving his hands about, he said, "There, that is my estate, you know, acre and acre of beautiful trees and buildings and things." Then he pointed to a great distance on one side, and he continued, "Do you see that small house over there? That belongs to me. That big house over there belongs to me." Then his friend said to him, "Do you see that village over yonder?" And he said, "Yes." "Well, there lives a poor woman in that village who can claim that she has a bigger estate than you do." "How's that?" said the prominent man. "What can she claim?" "Why, she can say, 'Christ is mine.'" The wealthy gentleman looked confounded, but said not another word. What does it profit a man to gain everything in this world and yet lose his own soul? When I was in New York with Patsy, I bumped into a man, literally, and he turned around and it was Ted Turner. And as soon as I looked eye to eye with him, we're about the same height, and I looked him in the eye, as soon as I saw him, I was struck with the awareness. Not that I wanted anything from him, but I wanted to get what I have to him. I didn't need what he had. I just was struck with the idea I just wish people could know Christ. Because you can't take any of the other stuff with you. Yet, the believer, if we're not careful, the enemy will trip us up and make us oblivious to the provision. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6 that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I think that if we don't itemize the provision, we're going to fall short of what God has intended for us to have. I think the call on our lives is to take hold of and obtain. The Bible says that by faith and patience, we inherit the promises. These precious and magnificent promises have been given to us, but a promise is great, but when it's afar off and it's not been obtained, it's still just a sort of a great idea. But God wants us to lay hold of these promises through faith and patience, through understanding, through revelation. And actually, we are being invited around a table where an executor is saying to us, "Someone has died and they have willed their estate, their provision, their abundance to you. And now I want you to come in and hear the reading of the will." And that, in effect, is what we're doing this morning. We're turning to the last will and testament of Jesus. We're looking at the fact that we in Christ are joint heirs with Jesus. I like the Antiques Roadshow, and they always say, "Well, this is handed down from my grandmother's grandmother, and they just recently died, and now I have it, and how much is it worth?" And they say, "Oh, it's a fake," or they say, "It's worth $1 billion or something." And I watch that with interest, but that's never happened to me. But in Christ, something has happened to me. In Psalm 23, I want you to look at Psalm 23, then we're going to go to Psalm 37. Psalm 23, verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Part of the inheritance is that we are invited into His house to dwell with the Lord. Part of our inheritance is that a table is prepared before us, even in the presence of our enemies. Part of the inheritance is that He has anointed us and that God's blessing has come upon us. Church, I want to tell you that we have been given a provision. Recently, a young gal married a prominent older man, like an 89-year-old guy, briefly married. He died. He wrote out his will to this girl. And then the son of this wealthy man who had expected, he was in line for this inheritance, he fought in court to try to get this deal worked out. And maybe you've heard it in the news. Well, he just recently died. He was only 60-something, and he died never realizing the fullness of what was lined up to come to him. And there was just all this weird sort of thing that happened. But you see these things where something's coming down the line, and then that guy got ripped off. Yeah. And then he died anyway. Yeah. What we have in Christ, we do not want to be ripped off of. And the enemy wants to come and steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. He wants us to turn our back on the provision and lose sight of what we've inherited. And what we have in Christ is so amazing. We've got to fight our way through some of this mind-numbing, sense-dulling discouragement that tries to weigh us down. And we've got to peel back and see just what God has given us, who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, who Christ is in us. Because, man, I'm telling you, you're called to inherit. You're called to inherit the kingdom. You're called to inherit wisdom. You're called to inherit the promises of God. You're lined up. An inheritance is simply something given that is to be received. I told you that recently there's a website that talks about uncollected property. Somebody punched in my name. They found that I had closed out an account somewhere years ago. I had a few bucks in it, and then interest built up, and it got up to $43 or something. And so after the tithe, you know, I think I was able to go buy some ice cream with it. But I didn't have it before because it was uncollected, because I didn't know about it. And when I found out about it, all I had to do is sign my name, and I got it. And I want to say to you that the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to choke the word, to hinder the blessing, has tried to work overtime to seize you, to hinder you, to block the blessing in your life. God has blessings coming upon you and overtaking you. He wants you to come into a new level of abundance. He wants you to move into a new level of wisdom. He wants you to move in a breakthrough in your marriage. He has plans for you to walk in health and strength. How many of you are battling sickness in your body right now? I talked to a man dealing with cancer today. I'm believing God for healing to pour into your life. Healing is part of the provision of God. When you don't know that and you become naive to it, you could be ripped off. What you don't know, the Bible says it could hurt you. For lack of knowledge, God's people are destroyed. Now, I want to go into the Word. I want to get a hold of this. I want to get informed. So let's go to Acts chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 32. Acts chapter 20, and I told you we're going to look at Psalm 37, but I want to go to Acts chapter 20 just so you can understand a little bit of what I'm trying to share. Paul is finishing up a message to some pastors in Ephesus, and he says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." God has an inheritance. He has a heritage. He has mighty blessing that He has laid out for us. And as we turn and we look into God's Word, we see some of the aspects of the inheritance. He is putting this Word out so we can understand Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 more clearly, that says that He has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We have been given heaven's provision. God has given us His own Son, and in giving His Son, everything that Jesus has is now shared with the body of Christ. This has been obscured through seasons in church history, but now God has brought an unfolding of this in the last 100 years. Some of the greatest teaching has come on the earth, teaching that has brought a revelation of the abundance of God. It's been like a reformation of understanding. But we've got to take hold of it and fight and lay hold of what God has for us, because God has called us to possess the nations. God has called us to reap a harvest of souls in our generation. You want to know what it's all about? It's not about shampoo and airplanes and people blowing up and all that stuff. It's about people being shaken from their complacency and brought into a point where they're coming out of the valley of decision. And there needs to be a breed of people who understand who they are, what they have, what they're called to do in Christ. And there's a multitude of people coming into the kingdom. It's not just about how we can have our creature comforts added and multiplied. It's about how we get smart and skilled at prayer, at preaching, at prophesying, at bringing healing, at believing God at work, trusted God in our schools, I saw my whole school changed by the gospel. Every week people were getting saved in my high school in California. I've watched God move in such mighty ways, and I believe we're coming up into another cycle. I believe that this is the time for us to take hold of the reward of the inheritance. It says in Colossians 3:24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. There is a reward of the inheritance. There is eternal life that God has put in us. And it's pretty cool. What have we inherited? New creation life. We're a new creature now. We're different than we used to be. We're a spirit being, alive to God. We were once dead, now we're alive. 2 Peter 1:3, I'm a partaker of his divine nature. Wow. I love that. We've been chosen and brought out of darkness. Romans 8:17, I'm a joint heir with Christ. Everything Jesus had is now at our disposal. We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We've been given the commission to go preach the good news of Jesus, that people would be saved. You guys, it's so important that we in this Chesterfield Valley and in this church and in this moment understand the times and realize, God, help me to get out of my apathy. Help me to rise back up into what you've called me to do, into my true potential. Basically, all I'm trying to reiterate here is that God has not only brought us out of darkness so we could have the satisfaction of knowing we're going to heaven when we die, but he's empowered us to be ambassadors for Christ and to pray huge prayers and to believe God for the advancement of the kingdom of God during our lifetime. This is an important hour. This is a prophetic hour. This is way bigger than just a church getting big. It's way bigger than us having fun services. It's about lives coming out of darkness by the hundreds of millions. I don't know how it'll come to pass. Just like Abraham didn't know how he was going to be the father of many nations when he was past childbearing, when it was ridiculous, it was so silly that when he told Sarah they were going to have a baby, she laughed. So they named the baby in Hebrew Isaac, which means to laugh. So there, it gets to the point of ridiculous, and that's when God starts to move in a mighty way. That's what I liked about Dodie Osteen's story about all the great success principles of Lakewood and Houston, because the church was 200 for 15 years, because they endured and persevered for decade after decade after decade. You guys with me? I know I'm kind of preaching some things that are sort of big and kind of church and kind of, but I hope you could grasp this and take it into the personal level. Because you are lined up inheriting things from God's word that if you'll take hold of these things afresh, it'll bust the apathy off of you, it'll bust the complacency off of you, and I think it'll get you back into a place where you're finally honed and aware of the potential that's present in you wherever you go, wherever you walk. You ever have a dullness come on over your mind where you just, like the shades have pulled down and you're just kind of focusing on mid-range? Have you ever done that? Has anybody in here ever focused on mid-range when you're talking to some? How many wives have ever seen your husband focus on mid-range when they were talking to you? Don't get in trouble here, but I don't want to do that spiritually with my God. I don't want to do that with the promises of God. I don't want to be invited to the inheritance reading and go, I want to capture this and take hold of it, carry it out and walk in it. God has given us the sword of the Spirit. We might as well use it. God has given us the name of Jesus by which we can obtain all the things that God has for us. God convicted me the other day. He said, your prayers are too small. I got convicted. We need to start praying huge prayers. He said, set your sights higher. I believe whole nations could come to Christ in our lifetime. I believe we could see a reformation that could take place on the earth, where revival comes to the church, where backsliders, they recognize that probably 25 million people are backslidden right now in America, 10% of the population. I believe they could come back to Jesus. 25 million backsliders. If they came back to Jesus, ooh, that'd be awesome. God has given us an inheritance. God has given us this overcoming. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, by the name of Jesus, by the power of agreement. We overcome. We're overcomers. When I'm in the church and I see people weeping, pray for me about this, I'm not going, oh, yes, I will pray for you. I'm praying that God will move on your situation. You tell me your kid is getting all goofy. I know God could get a hold of your goofy kid. He got a hold of this goofy kid. I know that where my help comes from. Yesterday, I was flatlined. Patsy said, Jeff, you need to go pray. I was watching a TV show where coyotes were eating foxes. And I flipped the channel and an anaconda was biting a policeman. And I was just watching one show after the other of these animals trying to devour everything. I was like, no, I'm just going to watch this. I don't want to pray. I want to watch nature shows. And I think you should go pray. So I call up a friend. Let's go pray. It was amazing just stepping in to start praying. The enemy tried to stop us, get us distracted talking about stuff. But we kept praying. And it's amazing. Part of our inheritance is an invitation to draw near to God and let our requests be made known to God. It was amazing how my flatline bad attitude switched and strength started to come into my weakness. And supernatural power started to fill up where I felt depleted. And by the end of that time, I walked out feeling and sensing, anticipating some of the anointing and the presence and the power of God. I switched from looking at my enemies to looking at the table and the provision of God. He's my healer. He's my redeemer. I have access to the Father. I call Him my Father. Jesus is inside of me. I'm a new creature now. That when I pray, mountains move. When I preach the gospel, people will actually get saved from it, even when they act indifferent and goofy. Oh, hallelujah. We've inherited something so great. The Bible says, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I think we need to stop our negligence and get a hold of what God's provided, get serious about these epistles of Paul and read about how we're new creation now. Read about how God's called us to walk in a manner worthy of Him. We've inherited a call. We've inherited a commission. It's coming to be our finest hour. The nations are about ready to shift, and the kingdom is about ready to be more pertinent than it's ever been. The church is not on decline because Jesus is the head of it. So the gates of hell will not prevail against what He builds. The world of the kingdom of God throughout the nations is rising. It can't be stopped. It can't be stopped. The word of God is not imprisoned. And yet on an individual basis, there is a battle as realistically on the individual level as it is at the global level. So as I speak to you, we all have our many issues that are just wearing us down and weighing us down. However, we turn and we look to the provision of God. We lay hold of the promises. He said, I commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. When I became a Christian, I was as naive and new as a brand new baby. But as I started to fortunately get in an environment where I got some decent teaching and people began to share things with me about how I could be filled with the Holy Spirit, how I could go out and share the gospel with people and that would please God and people would get saved from it, how I could pray and mountains would move in prayer, how if I overcame unforgiveness, God would be pleased with that, how I'd learn how to fight through the temptation to be carnal and that His strength would be perfected in weakness, that He even comforts the depressed, and that He knows how to make all things work together for good. It produces an invincible mentality for war, where you battle not against flesh and blood, but you plow through the barriers that look like you would not be able to break through it. And you know, by my God, we can win these battles. If Abraham could have a baby when he's 100, if Moses and the people of Israel could break out of Egypt, if the early church could start with 12 people, most of whom were in denial, and Thomas is going, I don't believe it, I don't believe it, I don't believe it. And God uses him anyway to change that early generation. Then I believe we have come into our finest hour. I'm telling you, I know it for sure. St. Louis is coming into a new level. I love this town. The best part of your inheritance and mine is that we have Jesus. The best part of what we have is that we have Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. He's the King that He died so we could have everything God wants us to enjoy. You're at the greatest vantage point of anything anybody could ever have in life. And I don't want to step into the place where I've gone to be with the Lord and there's this giant warehouse of provision and I walk through it and go, is this for me? And He goes, no, that was what I had for you while you were on earth. You never bothered to tap into it. I want to fully explore all that God has for me. And I want you guys in this church to understand that when the enemy bears down on you, you could turn off the TV and say, God's not giving me a spirit of fear. And where He'll help you conquer your fears. And where sickness starts to attack your body. I mean, yesterday I heard a bad report on something. So then what do? Do I get in fear? No. What does God's word say about this? Okay. You go to the table. You see what we've inherited in Christ. And you see that He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He's given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He said, these works and greater works shall you do because I go to be with the Father. That's what's amazing about the church. As it is with Jesus, so it has become with us. As He is, so are we in this world. That He rose from the dead, and He is the resurrection and the life, and we have resurrection power operating in us. So when I bump into one of the wealthiest people in the Western world, I'm not immediately provoked to jealousy. I'm trying to figure out how I could lateral over what I have. As you know, how many bison do you need? How many TV programs do you need? How many classic movies do you need? I got classic movies. I could turn on the Discovery Channel and see a bison. It's like I'm done now. But to have a relationship with God is the best thing going in this life. Didn't you notice? Let's go to Psalm 37, because there are three things here I want you to see in Psalm 37. Basically, I want to just shine some light on the fact that there is such a thing as an inheritance, that we are joint heirs with Jesus. As Paul said, that His word, He commends you to God, and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. This document sitting on your lap, these words are deliberately given that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Psalm 37, verse 11, "The humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity." The humble will inherit the land. Then go over to verse 22, "For those blessed by Him will inherit the land." Those blessed by Him will inherit. Those blessed by Him will inherit. Then it goes down to verse 29. "The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever." So there's a lot here about inheritance of land in the case of those in the days of David and the security that comes with people who trust in the Lord. Verse 34, "Wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land." So something about faith and patience. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews that it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. There is an inheritance. We are set up and poised to receive. When you pray, believe, you shall receive. John 1:12 says, "As many as receive Him, to them He gives the right to become the children of God." So, church, listen, this is something that the enemy has tried to diminish and discount in the earth to try to keep the believers ill-informed. But what God has done is He's brought a big, giant surge of great teaching over the last 100 years. He's brought a lot of focus and amplification on who Jesus is, on what the church is all about, on the kingdom that will not be shaken, on His throne that is forever and ever, on His word that is secure and true. And people have been buying into it, and it's created such strength. It's created such hope. It's causing revival. It's causing harvest. It's causing churches to rise up. It's causing men and women to move forward. It's causing marriages to be reinforced. It's causing people to learn how to obtain promises. I love it when I see my own personal children learning how to believe God and trust God for strength in a time of hardship, for healing in a time of attack. I mean, I'll tell you something. One of my daughters had such a major attack on her life, and God brought her through. God gave her wisdom. I saw her just with tears in her eyes, determined to believe God. What was she doing during that time? She didn't cave in and whimper. She laid hold of the promises of God and took her place on the Word of God. I hated how the devil attacked her, but I love how she responded because she understood something about the inheritance. God has set us up in line for an inheritance that is so amazing what God has provided for us. It's amazing. I mean, there are people in here that could have died a while back. And while you were going into surgery, you held on to your wife's hand and said, "Let's agree together that God will bring me through and God will bring healing to me." And you believed God and you came out of surgery and God took care of you and He's given you extra days, length of days, and years of life. There are just some things you could take hold of. You could, today, a spirit of wisdom and revelation wants to get on some of us to make better decisions. It's available to us. And we're like, "Well, I don't know, man. I'm so apathetic." God can burn your apathy out of your life and give you a personal revival. Proverbs 3:35 says it this way. It says, "The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor." There is an inheritance. There is something we can receive. It's just so awesome. What do believers inherit? Does anybody remember what John Jr. and Caroline inherited that I talked about a couple weeks ago? A big penthouse, giant estate overlooking Central Park. Remember that? Doesn't matter because we're not in line for it. But they got it. Doesn't really matter to John now because he crashed in a plane. So what I'm talking about is not just good for this life, but also for the life to come. You hearing me? This is where we kind of stand. And the whole goal of my message is I give you all this is just to remind you that he makes a table before us and prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. And I'm trying to shine some light on the table. It's helped me to change. It's altered my personality. It's helped me in my outlook. It's affected my relationships. It's invaded my way of processing provision and how to deal with my stewardship. It's gotten a hold of my kids. It's working on things that aren't looking so good. It works on things that are potential. I mean, it just gets me in a place where it's like, God, you've got something that's so great. We need to walk in the awareness of all that he has aimed at us. Church, listen. He's given us everything necessary for our lives on earth. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. It's not just an American dream. It's God's plan for his people. Do you know that you have angels encamping around you? Did you know you're an heir of salvation? Okay, look at this. Hebrews 1:14. Let's go through this before we leave. Are they, these are angels, not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? You know, we are saved, but there is a salvation that, for example, when Kay Swoboda or Marvin Schmidt left their bodies to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. And I was with Kay and the family, you know, a few hours before she died, and I said, this is going to be glorious for her. This is going to be glorious for her because she's about to inherit something that she's been looking through a glass darkly, but then, boom, face to face. See, this deals with the fear of death. This gets us in a place where it's like, man, there's something up ahead that's good. I might as well live full and on fire all the way to that point. We're heirs of the promise. Hebrews 6:17. Look at this. Hebrews 6:17 says, in the same way, God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose. We are inheriting not just a promise, the promise of eternal life, but all these precious and magnificent promises. And that God has provided them and we're going to take hold of them. And we're going to believe God for them. Find a promise in the scripture and don't let go. How many of you have some kids that maybe aren't walking with God right now? Yeah. Lay hold of that story about the prodigal son that came back. Or that verse that said, even when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And trust God for them to come back around. Come on. My grandma, my dad's mom got saved in the 50s. She started praying for her kids. My dad, his brother, and sister, they all got radically saved. They all entered into some form of ministry even. So not only did she pray they'd come into the kingdom, they became really fruitful. I used to walk around and confess, my dad is a soul winner. And then my dad, I'll never forget the day when he came to me and he said, Jeff, somebody needs ministry out here on the levee. You need to go. And he used even church lingo. When he said he needs ministry, he's like, whoa. There are promises. I believe in God for your family. He said, you and your whole household shall be saved. I'm believing God for the kids and the kids and the kids' kids' kids to come to Jesus. Sure. When I was at Cottonwood Christian Center and I preached last week, they're building a new building and they said they got cards and they passed them out and said, write down the name of your family and even remote cousins and people you want to see coming into the kingdom. We'll take the cards and on the last pour of concrete, we'll put all those cards out into the very foundation of the building. Just as a statement of our confidence that God is going to see our family come in to walk with God and they'll find their feet in the house of God. And you know, it's not gimmicky. It's just a thing of let's just believe God. Let's just one more point of just taking a stand. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Because he cooperated with God, he had inherited something. He, by being obedient, he was an heir of righteousness. You know, we have inherited right standing with God. When Jesus said, look, I want to give this to you, he said, I'm going to take your sin and you're going to inherit my right standing with God. It's a gift. Romans 4:13. Oh, I like this one. We're heirs of the world. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not yet through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Abraham cooperated with God, and he is now the heir of the world. Now, here's what I want to say to you in this building that has all these flags up above it. In this little building in the Chesterfield Valley, God is requiring us to lay hold of this idea that he's called us to possess the nations. This is something that's at the core of the call on this church. We are called to believe God to reach the nations of the world. I know it's huge, but think how Abraham felt when he was past childbearing and God said, your seed will inherit the earth. You're going to have so many kids, your descendants are going to be more innumerable than the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. He's like, even Sarah, she laughed. Ha, ha, ha. And I think the church is kind of going, yeah, right. Even my preaching right now, it's like, right, look at my life. No, let's look at the life of God in us and the provision on the table and see the potential for the remaining of our days. And let's lay hold of it. God's just looking for people to lay hold of these promises. Show up at the table. James 2:5, we're heirs of the kingdom. Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? We have inherited a kingdom which cannot be shaken. You know, I'm going to tell you something interesting. I have been in places in the world, like in Italy, within days of terrorist attacks. In fact, I remember there was a period of time where I was just within days of these things, and it was amazing. I remember when we had a team down at the Olympics in Atlanta, and our team was passing out tracts and preaching, guess where? In the Coca-Cola Pavilion. And Ed Fosnott was in leadership in that particular case. God works through leadership. This is part of our inheritance. And he's standing there, and all of a sudden he says, we need to go now. We need to go now. And everybody, he said, let's get in the bus. Let's get out of here right now. Let's go now. So he got everybody together, got in the bus, drove off. Within a couple hours, an explosion. Somebody went in there and planted a bomb and injured a lot of people. They were in that very location. God knew about it. God moved the people out. We need to understand that we've inherited God's wisdom. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, it's joy. See, I watch the news and I see all this. One show last night had a show about all the wires and how the static electricity blew up this plane, and you just never know when that'll happen. And now they've got guys with shoes that blow up, and now they got shampoo with little clickers that blow up. And it's like, well, I'm flying anyway. God will show me when not to fly. I'm not going to let that stop me from doing what God's called me to do. Are you with me? We're just wading through the landmines. God's faithful. In fact, in Kosovo, there were landmines everywhere. We just kind of waded through them. The world's messed up. But we have inherited a kingdom which cannot be shaken, a Holy Spirit who is a guide, who is faithful to lead us into all the truth. That's why on Friday night, I'm teaching on how to be led by the Spirit so we don't have to be in fear. We could be sensitized more than ever. If you've grown a little bit dull or you want to just get sharpened, we could be led by the Spirit. God will shine light on you and show you things, show you what to do and what not to do. Listen, Titus 3:7 and Romans 8:17. Say, I have quite an inheritance. Say that. I have quite an inheritance. Yeah. No one's ever said, Jeff, you're in this inheritance. You're lined up for this. That's never happened to me in the natural. But boy, this supernatural inheritance has happened to me. And I want to take hold of all that God has given. Titus 3:7. Being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We are heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We have inherited something. How many of you have ever inherited anything? How many of you have never inherited anything? Like, you're like me, you're in my camp. Okay, well, now how many of you know now are seeing, wait a minute though, in Christ I do have an inheritance. I have some things aimed at me that Jesus wants me to have. As realistically as a material thing, it's even better. It's a supernatural series of happenings that have happened in our lives. Wow. Romans 8:17. Let's finish with this. It says, let's go to verse 16 first. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now that means that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit gives you a bearing of witness that you're connected with God. How many of you have that in your life? You have that knowing. Isn't that cool? Honestly, I would say for the purposes of this message, that might be one of our greatest possessions. That sense of security that we are inheritors of salvation, that I'm saved. I don't hope so. I know that I'm in Christ, that my sins are forgiven, and that my name's recorded in heaven. And that I know that because God has sealed me with that, and His Holy Spirit has a witness in my spirit. I remember when I got saved and asked Jesus into my heart, I think that's the greatest thing I carry. Because I no longer agonize wondering, if I die, am I going to go to heaven or hell? No, I know that Jesus paid the price, that I repented. He granted me repentance and he let me come into his family. Now I'm one of his kids. It's awesome. I want more people to know that. All right. Heirs of God, and if children, then heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So we are heirs or inheritors of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How many of you think God is doing pretty good? Listen, the news is going to get weirder and weirder, but the good news is going to become more and more attractive. Become excellent at understanding the array of inheritance provision laid out for you in the scriptures. Learn who you are in Christ. Hey, I'm in Christ now. I'm a new creation. I've inherited a new creation life. I'm a spirit being. I'm alive to God. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I'm a believer. I used to be a doubter, but now the light of the gospel shines in my mind. I'm a doer of the word, so all kinds of blessings happen to me. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a conqueror through him who loves me. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. I'm an ambassador for Christ. Ooh, this is good. I'm a part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. The New King James says God's special people. I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. See, I talked to Ed Fosnott on the phone. He's gone through some physical challenges, but the key word there is he's going through. He's still seeing one of his sons get married next weekend. He's still pressing on with God. He's still seeing things go around him, fruit that's been born through his life. He's believing God for healing on his body. With the devil designed to take him out, he's just going to live longer than his mom and dad did. That's just the way it is. I'm so enthralled with the idea that I could pray and mountains can move. I could believe God for his provision and it'll come down into my life. I'm so excited that there's a reward in you fellowshipping and getting together. There's a reward in you being here today that's part of our inheritance. If two or more are gathered, there he is in our midst. Father, I thank you for your presence. I pray you blast people through the concrete bombardment attacks of the enemy and cause them to just pulverize the mountains and move forward in faith. I thank you that we are inheritors of something so great, God, your name, your power, your provision, salvation. And I pray, God, that this array at the table, we would become more efficient at operating in, rolling up our sleeves and laying hold of your healing, laying hold of the power of the gospel, laying hold of prayer, laying hold of the vitality of what you've given us, Lord. I thank you that what we have is better than what we realize. And I thank you, God, we're going to go out in joy, carry it as ambassadors. I pray the blessing of God, the strengthening of God upon everybody in this place. I thank you already bodies are healed and lives are being turned around. I pray protection on people at work. I pray you rescue people from temptation. I pray you strengthen people's hearts, God, and I pray that you use them to win people to Christ. Use them to move in new levels of understanding. Bless people who have unforgiveness in their heart with that inheritance of conviction that they could get over it and get in the right side of things, Lord. I pray for revival and harmony to break loose in people's lives. I ask, God, that you move mightily on each person in this place. Meet their needs and minister to them, God. I pray they go out with joy. I pray they're led forth with peace. I pray you use them to bring encouragement to somebody. I pray they pray huge prayers. I pray, God, they move into new levels in faith. And I pray, God, they harmonize with your perfect will. I come against everything that's trying to hinder them in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, this group gets radically on fire and gets right in position for this season we're in. That you'd anoint them and let them see they are a prophetic people. Let them get out of the blasé doldrums and back into some vibrancy. People that feel dull in spirit, God, I know we are inheritors of the fire of God, and I pray fire would just surge through us. I pray you help us to get more filled with the Spirit than we've ever been. I pray, God, you'd use us to be so revived and live so consistently for you. I pray something spiritual happens on the inside of us from God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Turn around and...